Exclusive Radio.
Pre-roll time. You know the Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly brought to you by Inked Marketing and the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this here episode. Well, it's going to go to Tiki Zombie. 10 years ago, the first fan-tiki-tastic issue of Tiki Zombie was published by New Legend Productions. To celebrate the milestone, Michael Gordon and Peter Cutler are publishing a comic featuring all new material. That's the same creative team, people. So what the hell is Tiki Zombie? You recognize Tiki Zombie if you saw him, for sure. Tiki Zombie is a comic depicting the adventures of a cursed undead lounge owner named Tiki Z and his crew of the mysterious island of Mugabali. Take 1 ounce of childish humor, add 1 ounce of silly satire, and mix with fruity, syrupy passion, Saturday morning suspense, mythical mayhem, and a dash of sweet tropical vibes. Make sure to leave out all the bitters, shake it up and strain into sequential panels, and serve with a stunningly sumptuous cover. The concoction is so powerful, most establishments will not serve an individual more than two, but we encourage you to order as many as you can handle. Tiki Zombie, I'm telling you, I'm so excited for this one. It's a project we love on Kickstarter, so yeah, just go to inked.pub/TikiZombie and secure your copy today. it's right up my alley, people. It looks like a lot of fun, and I'm telling you, it's a memorable character. If you've been around in comics at all within the past decade, you've seen Tiki Zombie. So yeah, get on it. Once again, it's inked.pub/TikiZombie. Again, and welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wayne, and this is episode 347. The 347th episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a creator corner. And god damn it, is this a creator corner? It's David Pepos back for the fifth time, man. he's a friend of the show. He's an incredible creator, and he is being acknowledged. It's just the year of Pepos once again, and I'm happy to say he's back for a fifth time, tying his rival Rylan Grant. Rylan Grant caught up, got ahead actually. Now it's David Pepos tying it again. It's no competition. The two are friends, and I'm just so privileged to have these guys on my side as I watch their careers in comics just blow the hell up. So David Pepos, he's back to talk Kickstarter. The OZ issue number 2 is on Kickstarter right now, so make sure you check that out, bit.ly/theozcomic, and it'll take you right there to the Kickstarter. Tons of stretch goals. We're going to talk all about it, but I want to make sure before you know all about this Kickstarter, because it's going to be a big one. And if you weren't aware, and we're going to talk more about this as well, issue 1 of the OZ, that was announced on this podcast. It was Project Saffron before all this. So, you know, David gave me the exclusive announcement. And that was something amazing. And then since then, that issue has gone on to be nominated for not one, not even two, but 3 Ringo Awards: Best Letter, Best Cover Artist in Man House, and of course, Best Single Issue Story. Incredible. But we're going to talk all about this. Before we get into this, though, I got to tell you all about Nerds Forever. Another one of my favorite things. If you're looking for just the absolute best in quality customer service, then I highly suggest you go over to 307nerds4ever.com, 307nerds4ever.com, and Yeah, just be surprised. Be pleasantly surprised, because it is not the your typical customer service situations. And at the same time, Tarl, the man that operates and runs Nerds Forever, well, he listens to this here podcast. I would hope so, being an affiliate at all. And he knows the good things to order. So, you know, let's say you go to eBay and you're looking for, I don't know, just whatever hot book is coming out. Well, before you go to eBay, I would highly suggest you check out 307 Nerds Forever and continue to check it out, because that website's being updated for a weekly. Frequently is the actual word I meant to say. Frequently. I don't know what that other mumbling was. So yeah, no, 307nerdsforever.com, located out of little old Newcastle, Wyoming. So if you happen to be planning any comic book road trips, don't discount great shops and places like Wyoming. So yeah, Nerds Forever, baby. Now, without any further ado, I bring to you another amazing Creator Corner, David Pepos. All right, welcome back, David. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. So good catching up with you, buddy. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's always exciting having a Pepos podcast, that's for sure. I mean, it's just like a staple name in this house now. Even the whole family. And like, oh, I got it. It's a Pepos day. It's a Pepos day. They're like, they don't even have to be like, who the fuck is David Pepos? They know. They know. I just I boast about you, microphone or not, man. I've it's so awesome having you on the show for a fifth time.
Well,
you've had some big news recently, man. Ringos. Yeah. Ringos, that's the word.
Yeah.
Tell us. I mean, what being a self-published book, one of only two on the ballot, I mean, is this has got to still be sinking in for you?
It really is. You know, for those who don't know who I am, I'm the writer of books like Spencer and Locke, Going to the Chapel, Scout's Honor, and my current Kickstarter series, The OZ, which is running its second campaign right now. And we're so blown away to find out that last week, the first issue of the OZ, which ran its Kickstarter last year, was nominated for the 2021 Ringo Awards for Best Single Issue or Story, as well as our cover artist, Mon House, being nominated for Best Cover Artist, and our letterer, DC Hopkins, being nominated for Best Letterer. And I'm so blown away. It just goes to show how vocal our Emerald Army really is. They really showed up in a big way. And got us on that ballot, and I'm pinching myself. Like you were saying, I mean, there's only two self-published books in the entire ballot, and especially to be nominated for Best Single Issue or Story, considering all we had was the single issue. Really, it means the world to us, we're excited for people to see what we have in round two.
Yeah, no, that's it's a tremendous accomplishment, and I mean, with what you're up against, I think you're gonna be okay. Not to take anything away from where you're at, but I mean, the OZ just it hit the ground running so hard. And I mean, you even said like this is the slow issue. I can't imagine what these next two issues are gonna be if this is the slow issue, because it really came out swinging hard in the first round. And I mean, it's to be nominated that quickly, and I mean, it's so awesome. And I remember that when we talked, up until the point we talked the last time, the OZ was still Project Saffron. No one knew what the hell Project Saffron was. I was the first member of the media, as far as I knew, to actually know what the hell the OZ was. And so I've been, oh man, a champion of yours from the beginning on this book, and to be able to follow all of this progress, and to, you know, I didn't have to read the book the first time. Just, I remember you pitching it to me, and I felt like I had read it. Like the pitch was amazing. And you know, the little behind the scenes stuff that you showed me, off the mic and all of that. I mean, I knew that this was destined for, acclamations, and god damn, I was so happy for this has been, to me, this has been the most satisfying Ringos ever. I mean, between the OZ getting nominated and sidetrack, my boys the Metal Shark Bros getting a nomination, that is
good bunch of dudes.
They really are, man. They're the those are my dudes. So to see them getting some recognition off their little goofy book that they didn't even really know what the hell it was about. I mean, they I was talking to them, they didn't I brought up Ringo's, they're like, yeah, whatever, dude. But now it's affirming of my taste in comics. Let's put it that way. I could smell it. I could smell it, and the OZ is just another one of those, man. So there's not a whole lot of self-published books ever to be nominated for anything ever, period. Because it's an on the rise type of publishing medium. But I think with what is happening right now with the OZ and the Ringos, you just this book alone has opened the doors in so many ways. I mean, this is the trailblazer of indie comics getting real recognition and acknowledgement. So I mean, I'm
Oh yeah, I feel I that's why I was so stunned is we asked our fans to vote for us just because I didn't think I could sleep at night if we didn't. And yeah, the fact that the judges were listening, it really it means a lot to us.
Yeah, well, it's well deserving, that's for sure. Because like I said, when we talked the last time, I had just had the pitch. Well, I had just brushed up again on this issue, as I tend to do right before I fire up the old computer. And man, it holds up on every read beyond the first. It is just as exciting, and all those holy shit moments are just as amazing. At this point, issue one's come out, and I mean, even on the Kickstarter, you give a lot of the back end of the first issue, and then some stuff, the first 11 pages of the second issue. So there's things that I don't feel I'm the one spoiling this, but fucking Toto, dude. Oh man.
We were so happy about Toto. That he's probably one of my favorite characters in the whole series. And so yeah, what we were able to do with him as a character, I had a lot of fun with that. And if you liked what we did with Toto in issue one, you're gonna love issue two.
Oh, I could see him just being the biggest of badasses, man, in his own
He had
little
a big
way.
cam hero moment for such a little guy. And yeah, it's probably one of my favorite bits in the whole second issue. Yeah, some very fun stuff in store for if you're a Toto fan.
I love it, and the total reveal is by far, every single reveal throughout this. I mean, it's the classic characters. We want to know what the hell they've been up to, and then when you see, where they're at in their lives now, it's every single time it's just shit. I guess that makes sense. I wouldn't. I mean, you see, the Tin Man. He's the what? The Iron Soldier? Is that what we
Tin
call him?
Soldier, yeah.
The Tin Soldier. Yeah, he's a. I mean, the role that he plays is he's essentially the leader of the rebellion. It looks like if I had to, classify it in some sort of way, and then Scarecrow being. Oh Jesus,
Sort of our
that
Darth Vader in a way.
seriously, the I never thought of any of this trio as ever going off to being villainous, but when you're to break them down in the way you did, and you tell as a writer that you're very in tune with these characters. You didn't just like flip a coin and be like, oh yeah, now we'll have this one do this one and blah blah blah. Every part that they play, it makes sense with their mythos and all of that. So having the one with the brain being the evil mind behind it all, it man.
Well, thank you for saying it. I mean, it's the OZ. I think part of the reason why I had so much fun working on it is because the archetypes of L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz, they're very iconic, and they I think that offers them a lot of flexibility as a result. And so we were able to do things that felt very organic because the characters themselves, we all know them just through cultural osmosis. And so yeah, it wasn't a huge stretch to be like, well, if the Scarecrow was the guy left in charge, he's the guy with the brain, but that he's not necessarily with the heart. And meanwhile, you know, the guy with the heart who's like trying to sort of, you know, maintain some level of a halfway decent status quo. And what does that do to him? And you'll be seeing more, you know, with our take on the courageous lion in this next issue. Jack Pumpkinhead is going to play a pretty big role. And then, of course, Dorothy, you know, our lead character is she's an Iraq war veteran, really the soul of the book. And she, you know, her journey going from sort of being one boot set of boots on the ground in the Middle East to being you know, a political powerhouse in her own right in the land of Oz, she's going to learn that there's the differences between being a soldier and being what's almost considered royalty in Oz, and realizing that these are two very different skill sets. And you know, she's going to be a revolutionary and a freedom fighter, and she's going to find out that is very different than her past, just in the ways that it also has a lot of similarities.
Yeah, no, it's you immediately get a sense of the, you know, we're gonna definitely find some stuff up about this character, and at the same time, we're gonna watch her find some stuff out about herself, because I mean, you could see that she's, yeah, as sure as she can seem, she's still very, I mean, she has a hard time determining what's real a lot of times, you know, she still suffers from all of the other stuff, so her mind is very malleable still, and why I mean, being able to watch her go through this journey herself to, you know, this whole coming back to, okay, I'll be a soldier again for the cause, without, you know, with her hesitations beyond it, it's very intriguing stuff, man. This is the character development in this is next level. There's a reason why I mean, it's getting the acclamations that it's getting, because it's so
Oh,
goddamn deep. It's beautiful.
thank you. I gotta say, you know, if our first issue was, you know, about Dorothy kind of reluctantly answering the hero's call, issue two is going to be exploring some of the costs behind that. You know, war, you can't do it with your hands clean. There's always casualties, and Dorothy is going to see some of those play out in real time, and that's a tough road to hoe for her. And I think she's gonna, you know, have to really kind of dig in deep if, you know, her sense of guilt and trauma isn't gonna overwhelm her. You know, I think she does have what it takes to lead and to potentially free the occupied zone. But you know, she's gonna see some good people fall before she gets there.
Yeah, no, I there's this movie, or this movie, this book doesn't look like it's gonna have any bubblegum moments in it for sure. I mean, it's very much a hard-hitting, action-packed type of, yeah, I mean, it's gonna make you think, that's for sure. I mean, every single panel, it's, oh man, I can't say enough about it, David. It really is absolutely amazing, and I'm going through here now just looking at the first 11 pages of the Kickstarter over and over and over, because the other 33 here aren't in front of me. because I mean, I'm so re after reading, you know, brushing up on the first one, I'm so ready for the second one, man. It's got me frothing. I want to know what the hell's going on. I mean, with the as far as the Cowardly Lion goes, you know, his role in this is kind of ambiguous. You know, it's a role of royalty, and you know, he kind of see him for a second, and the pre well, you don't even really see him for a second. You see some of his people, and I don't know. I think that's the reveal I'm waiting for the most. You know, just to see what the what whose side he takes, because you know, we're looking at this, and it's the Scarecrow kind of saying, "Hey, man, come on over here. Let's use our sources together." And then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. You know, I think, and yeah, the thing that I like most about the second issue is we get to see Dorothy's group grow. You know, we get to see her squad fill itself out a bit. I structured this book in a lot of ways similarly to a role-playing game. You know, the same way that you'd see like a Chrono Trigger or a Final Fantasy VII, where you know, you start off with your main person, and then the group starts to grow as you you know, embark in more adventures. And so, you know, seeing how the our take on the Courageous Lion and Jack Pumpkinhead, seeing how they sort of glom on to the greater storyline and how they add more to it, that's really fun for me. We really get to see how this team all clicks together in this issue. And so, you know, every issue you sort of have a new character who, or each chapter, I should say, you have like a new character. We see how they add things to the mix. And so, yeah, it's going to be very fun. Just some exciting stuff in store for all of these characters. And yeah, they really do have, each have their own sort of subspecialty. And I think artist Ruben Rojas really keyed into that in a big way. Yeah, it's, you know, you can see Dorothy is sort of, you know, she's trained as an Army Ranger. And so, you know, she's both the sniper, but also sort of the all-rounder. Whereas the Tin Soldier is sort of the big brawler, melee fighter with his giant axe. Whereas, you know, the Prince of Lions is kind of the ultimate stealth fighter, you know, super agile, like, you know, gets in close and tears deep. And then Jack being sort of the aerial fighter of the OZ, complete with his glider and his bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of it's a cool way to see all these different characters interact with one another. And you know, we'll get to watch some of them square off in issue two, and then we'll get to kind of see them start to really figure out how they work as a unit in issue three.
I love it, man. This is exciting stuff. I want to talk about, you know, bringing in new characters. You know, this is a very set universe. You know, the people love their Wizard of Oz, man. Bringing in, you know, hey, Jack. I mean, did you have any type of blowback at all from anybody saying, "Hey, no, this doesn't belong" or anything like that? I mean, obviously, I'm 100% fine with it. I fucking love the guy, but I mean, I love to hate him. Let's put it that way. But yeah. No, I mean, was it a nervous type of thing for you at all? Were you nervous about that?
No, you know, so I started, you know, obviously, of course, you start with the source, you know, and I think through cultural osmosis, everybody knows the Judy Garland film. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's where you start, you know, and you figure out, okay, what can I, you know, where did we leave these characters? You know, where would they go organically from here? And you know, are there any interesting ways to remix them that it still feels organic? And then once you sort of mine that, then you think, okay, like, is there anything else that is sort of a little more tangential, but a decent subsection of people might know. Particularly in the case of Jack Pumpkinhead, it was sort of a win-win because not only was Jack, you know, not only did he feature in Return to Oz, which is another, I think, fairly well-known movie, although obviously not as well-known as the original Wizard of Oz, but also because we knew that the Scarecrow was going to be kind of positioned as the big bad of the series, Jack felt like a nice one-for-one analog, you know, of like who could we have potentially join Dorothy's crew that would fill that Scarecrow sized role. And Jack immediately, you know, popped to mind. I mean, they're both, you know, you associate them with the farmland. And so, yeah, it was one of those things. Like, I think Jack also as a design, I think is probably one of the more memorable characters outside of the core four. You know, and so I was like, okay, like that totally works. I think it also helps. I'm pretty sure he was in Sandman, correct? So like, you know, that gives him a little bit of extra Q rating that I think a lot of comics fans get. And then beyond that, you know, it really was, I was trying to figure out, you know, what characters can we use that people, even if they aren't super familiar with the greater Oz lore, they can put two and two together, you know, they can put two and two together as to, you know, who Jack Pumpkinhead is, for example. Beyond that, I was just like, okay, we'll throw in Easter eggs, but nothing that like you need to know who they are for the plot to make sense. It's just more of, that's the great thing about working in the Land of Oz, is there's so much mythology that anything you need to make the story work, Oz probably has something like that. You know?
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that's how you make Toto work.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. What you're playing with here, Max. I mean, it gives you this endless set of opportunities to wow us.
It's exactly like there's just so, you know, if I wanted to do a setting, I mean, something that I talked with artist Whitney Kogar or colorist Whitney Kogar with a lot was, you know, trying to vary up the settings, you know, and figure out new and different places to do everything. So I was like, oh, you want to do a desert? Well, Oz has a deadly desert, you know? you remember the living trees, and you're like, okay, well, what if that turned into like a magical fallout zone?
Shit.
And so you kind of think of like different locations and different palettes that you can use for all that. It's a little like Star Wars, you know. You take one look at Tatooine and you understand what Tatooine is. Same thing with Hoth, same thing with Endor. You know the kind of just the temperature of the room just by looking at it. And you know that you can already imagine the sorts of dangers that might be a part of these environments. And so that's part of the reason, that's one of the things that drew me doing a riff on The Land of Oz, is that yeah, it's such a diverse, broad world that you can really do anything in it.
Yeah, no, I mean you're playing with magic. I mean almost literally here. It's endless opportunities, man. And you keep going the right direction too. You know, you never take the you're not taking any easy routes, you know, any obvious routes, no low hanging fruit. You're it's oh man, I really am blown away. There's I'm gonna say it again. There's a damn good reason why this is gonna have a Ringo sticker on it. It's so deserving. I want to talk about the Kickstarter a little bit. I can't believe we're talking about a book this big and it's a Kickstarter. So you're as we speak, we're about halfway through. I think when this goes out, it'll be about three quarters. Probably pushing on the last week here. So I mean, you're 500% funded. You funded in like what,
40
20
minutes.
minutes?
Yeah, 40 minutes. Yep,
40
fair.
minutes. Yeah, that sorry, 40 minutes. Jeez. That's insane, man. That's insane. It's not like you had like a $1,200 goal either. I mean, you had a goal
That's
that,
our
you
goal.
know, yeah, this is a pretty good goal. And yeah, 500% funded halfway through. Talk about these stretch goals a little bit that you're unlocking for people.
Sure. So we've unlocked a few already. We unlocked we have both stretch goals and social stretch goals. So our social stretch goals are the easiest ones to explain. My pinned tweet on my Twitter account, at PepOSD, every 50 retweets that tweet gets, we unlock more rewards for our backers. So we've already unlocked a free print for all physical backers by artist Edu Souza. It's inspired by Battle Chasers. It looks super dope. We're on the way to unlocking a behind the scenes commentary track from yours truly. If we hit 150 retweets, we'll actually unlock a new theme song for the series
Nice.
by the band Bed Death. So we're very excited about those. And then we have our financial stretch goals. You know, we have every $5,000 that we smash through, it unlocks new bonus material. So we've already unlocked a digital comics extravaganza for all print and digital backers. So that's going to be an extra 200, at least 200 plus pages of bonus comics from people like Justin Jordan, Ryland Grant, Clay Adams, Bretton Langell, Kat Kalamya, just to name a few. And so that's already on top of, you know, if you pledge $10, you get the PDF of the OZ 44 pages worth. You get the first issue of Spencer and Locke, my breakout series. And the first issue of my action rom-com, Going to the Chapel, you get all of that for $10. That's just digital.
Oh,
You,
yeah.
we've got four variant covers, which we're very excited about. You can also get a bundled set with all four of them for the price of three. Or if you missed our last campaign, you can get all nine covers that we've released for the price of seven and a half. If you missed our last campaign, we got print and digital catch-up tiers for both of our double-sized issues, so we can bring you up to speed. Plus some really cool, exciting premiere tiers, including a Skype session with me. I'll read over any script you want to send, and I'll give you notes. Or we can talk about running a Kickstarter or navigating Hollywood. And you choose the agenda. You can also get drawn into the book by series artist Ruben Rojas, or get an original commission from Ruben of any character of your choosing. We're doing black and white head sketches that look gorgeous. We also have one more limited edition Spencer and Locke plushie, handmade. We can give that panther a loving home. As well as, if you're a fan of my last book's Scout's Honor, we have, I believe, two sets left of the complete Ranger Scout merit badge collection. That's all 14 Ranger Scout merit badges. And when I say this is the only place you can get it, I mean it, because I think only seven of those badges have been released in the wild.
Damn.
And so you'll be able to get another seven would be the Ultimate Ranger Scout, as well as the Ultimate Yellow Brick Road Warrior. And so we have a few more stretch goals on the way. We unlocked our digital comics extravaganza. We just unlocked a set of painted cards from artist Rachel Persephone, which
beautiful.
Anybody can add on to their purchase. All, I think, $100 purchases, $100 tiers will get the cards for free. Otherwise, you can add them to your purchase on Kickstarter or BackerKit for $15. We are now on our way to unlocking, this is probably my favorite stretch goal of the campaign, our enamel pins. They are Courageous Lion courage badges. So we'll unlock that at $35,000. So we're doing pretty well. We're $1,300 into that $5,000 stretch goal. So we're making some decent time. But yeah, these pins were designed by artist Rio Burton, who did one of our variant covers in the last campaign. And it is beautiful. I think it might even be cooler than our last enamel pin, which I was already really excited about. So yes, back and share, because we've got all sorts of cool stretch goals in mind. And I really can't wait for people to get to see them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at this Kickstarter now, and there's just, it offers so much, man. I mean, just even from just choices of covers alone, it's a thing of beauty what you're offering here. I mean, there's just so much.
We're trying to offer readers a lot of bang for their buck. I understand that Kickstarter can be at a higher price tier. And so that's the beauty of the platform, though, is that you're able to sort of be modular in the way you sell things. You're able to add on. It's not just buying one book from, from your local comic shop. You're buying sort of a whole package of rewards. And I this is coming straight from me, the creator of the book, and my amazing creative team. And so we want to make sure that our readers feel invested and excited about this series, and we want to keep adding value so we can keep drawing in new readers. And the best is yet to come for the OZ. So. I've got high hopes for this second Kickstarter, and I think our Emerald Army will take us there.
I believe in it, man. I really do. I mean, the people that I talk to that have read this book, I mean, it's lopsided. I mean, there's no outliers. Anybody that's read this book that I've talked to is 100% into it. I mean, they try to outdo me as far as championing it. It's I feel like an amateur compared to a lot of these people, the way they talk about this book. So I have all of the faith in the world, man. And we all know that most of the backing comes in the last 46 seconds because they like to give creators heart attacks.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for
I'm super stoked. And I'm just so grateful to all of our Yellow Brick Road Warriors for coming back for round two. And for anybody who's interested in checking out the book, you can visit bit.ly/theozcomic. You'll see we're not shy about our preview art. We have the first 11 pages of issue one and the first 11 pages of issue two, because we want to show we're putting our money where our mouth is. This is I think a damn good book. I think Ruben Rojas and Whitney Kogar and DC Hopkins they can go toe to toe with any book in the direct market. They can go toe to toe with any book in the big three.
I believe you, man. I 100% agree with that. And I mean, this is stunning work. It really is. I mean, there's nothing that seems amateur about any of this in any way, shape, or form. Like, this feels like it should have a big publisher's name on it, because I mean, it feels highly produced. I mean, it's so beautiful, man. You're playing with gold, dude. This is amazing.
We wanted to bring our A game to the Kickstarter community, and the Kickstarter community has spoken. We're so thrilled to have them, and this will be hopefully the first project of any on the platform.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, you're trailblazing the way. Cause I mean, this has been the year of Kickstarters, no doubt about it. But now that people are going to see that you can actually have some real acknowledgement for doing it, it's not just a getting your foot in the door type of medium, not having to go through all the bullshit type. No, it's so much more than that. It is a real form of publishing now. And, man, it's
anymore.
it's going to create new categories and in these award shows. It really is. There, sooner or later, there's going to be just a best crowdfunded comic, because they're going to start having eyes on it. And yeah. Man, it's because of books like this. I mean, you're going to be able to say that you're one of the first, if not the first ever, to be able to do this. And man, I'm so happy for you, David. This is, I know how big this is. I see this. I see the future, and it's amazing.
I appreciate the encouragement, and you know, I'm very excited. You know, we've got some cool things in store. You know, both for the OZ and beyond. You know, I'm taking a pretty big swing on a new project that hopefully I'll be able to announce either later this year or earlier next year. Yeah, you know, it's so. This industry, you know, I've spent my whole life loving it, and it's nice to see when the industry loves you back.
Yeah,
it really kind of inspires me to keep bringing my A game to everything, and keep taking big swings, because if you're not taking a big swing, what the hell are you even doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you're just swimming at the bottom with the rest of the little fish. That's for sure, man. I mean, you got to do something scary and big to get this type of recognition. And I mean, playing in the World of Oz, I mean, that could go either way. And you are doing it just fine. I mean, to say the least. I've been to Liberty, Kansas. Those motherfuckers, dude, they are serious about this shit. There is not a building. And have you been to Liberty, Kansas before? It's a real place. It is like the real Wizard of Oz, man. Like you can't go into any store. You want to go to Dairy Queen, you're walking into Oz. Like everything is like Emerald City or Wizard of Oz, this Wizard of Oz doormats.
I had written it. I'm unless I'm totally misremembering how I did this, which to be fair, I did write, especially chapter one, I wrote years ago. But I'm pretty sure that I had looked through all the different, I looked through a list of towns in Kansas, and I saw Liberty, and I was like, yep, that's it. Like, that's exactly it. And I'm trying to remember if I'm looking up Wizard of Oz now. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, unless I totally misremembered it, and Dorothy herself actually grew up in Liberty. But
no, that's where the Wizard of Oz takes place, I believe. Like, I believe that's the town in Kansas.
Oh wow. Well then, either way,
that wasn't a coincidence. Was that really a coincidence?
I'm trying to remember. I mean, you know, it's
been oh shit. You're a fucking natural.
It's been a long time. You know, since I wrote that first chapter. So yeah, oh, I mean, I remember seeing it. And I was just like, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds like a real, you know, place to do this.
Oh man. The only reason I know that is because I used to be a traveling perfume salesman, and there was something about Liberty, Kansas. Those people, as much as they love the Wizard of Oz, they love to smell good. So I kept going back there because they were easy sales. That's the only reason I know so much about Liberty, Kansas, believe me. I just remember just being overwhelmed by like every single building I would go into was the Wizard of Oz. And the reason I bring this up is I'm saying these people that are Wizard of Oz, man, they're fucking diehard. I mean, it is a real cult following for generations and generations. So, I mean, to play in their sandbox and then come out with, 100% needle on the green. I mean, dude, that's quite the accomplishment, because we're talking about nerds here, and no nerd. I mean, that's not the way things work in talking this community.
You know, and you know, as somebody who comes by it honestly, you know, I understand that fandom. You know, they get possessive, not possessive. They get protective.
Yeah, no, that's a good word for it. Protective.
Their chosen fandom. And you know, for me, it's always about, you know, how can we treat that with as much respect as we can, you know, while still pushing the envelope, but knowing that like, it's a friendly ribbing, you know, it's one done out of love, not out of spite, or out of disdain.
And, absolutely.
I mean, you know, I wrote a term paper on L. Frank Baum's mythology in the Land of Oz, and I compared it to what Stan and Jack did with Marvel in terms of continuity. And so I it's amazing how much of that knowledge, you know, wound up getting stored in the back of my head. I wound up using it later. And, but yeah, it's just, there's such a rich iconography and mythology for the Land of Oz. I mean, it's got its own wiki, you know, and that wiki was very helpful for me, you know, as I kept, you know, working on this series. And so, yeah, it's just, yeah, when you're working with the mythology like that, the rest kind of comes easy. Hopefully, you know, we're able to do the whole thing justice.
I love it, man. I love it. And this is three issues and done, right? It's Oz, so it could be a completely open-ended type of story. I mean, what are your plans with this series? Or is this something that we shouldn't talk about?
No, I'm not excited about anything. You know, it's, you know, we right now we're planning on doing three Kickstarters to tell this story as I've written it. I mean, you know, I always write with sequel ideas in my back pocket just because, you know, the demand is there and everybody's schedule's in line, then that's awesome. You know, I did write this to be self-contained, just because, you know, you want to make sure that, like, you can get in and get out. If that's it, that's it. I wanted to do three Kickstarters because, like, I didn't want to give myself a nervous breakdown trying to do six. And to really, like I said, offer the Kickstarter community something extra. I think double-sized issues is a great way to do it. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, the stars would have to kind of align in terms of me and Ruben and Whitney and DC's schedules. You know, and if that winds up being a thing, great. You know, I'll never say never. I always have ideas. I do love writing Dorothy. And I do love writing this cast of characters. And so, you know, I have some ideas of where things could go after this arc. But, you know, right now my big concern is just getting this arc done. You know, Ruben Rojas is hard at work. He is about 2/3 of the way done through art side of this second issue. And so, you know, the pages he's been showing me have been terrific. And Whitney Kogar is diligently coloring them as they come in. And Dave Hopkins is lettering them. They look terrific. And so, you know, once that's done, then I can kind of take that breather, you know, that's finally sort of take that pressure off of my shoulders. And then I can sort of add another project to the mix. And that could be the OZ. It could be something else. You know, never say never. I think it'll depend on the fans and whether they want more. You know, if enough of them want it, I'd never say never to returning to Oz.
That's awesome, and that's what I like to hear. But I also, I mean, I'm fully confident that in just three issues, you're going to be able to tell an amazing story too without the necessity of a sequel.
Let me put it. I mean, the whole series is written, it has been written for about a year now. So like that's done and done, and I'm really happy with like the way that we've done this book. That like we're able to really tell a satisfying story in the span of, and when we say three issues, keep in mind that they're 44 pages a pop, so it really is like six issues.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is, in terms of scale, I think it's the biggest story I've ever done, and so I think, you know, seeing, and Ruben just like dives right in. He's so enthusiastic about this. And so, I think some really exciting stuff's in store. I just saw Ruben turning some pages today with a monster fight, and it's pretty dope, you know. And so we've got some more cool stuff in that vein coming for issue two, and especially issue three. All I'll say about issue three is I remember telling Ruben, think of Avengers Endgame, think of like the scale of that at the end, and that's sort of what we're shooting for.
Oh shit, Jesus, so, man, I can't even imagine.
Big stuff planned.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. I am so on board with this. This is so worthy. It really is. And now, is this something that, if you know, big comics came sniffing around and saying, hey, let me put our brand on. Is this something that you would allow to be distributed to the masses?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think it would depend. I mean, look, here's my thing. Kickstarter and the Kickstarter community were the first ones to believe in us. They were the first ones to put their money where their mouth is. And so my top priority is making sure that they get their books first. Mm. You know? And so, you know, we haven't been entertaining any offers from publishers at this point. You know, if and when that ever happens, you know, that's the cherry on top, you know, just to sort of open it up to that wider market. But, you know, I want to do right by the Kickstarter community. And that's, you know, that's part of why it's like, we want to make sure that like we're offering like our issues double-sized and we're offering these covers exclusively. And that we're offering these kind of exclusive items that you can't get anywhere else. But yeah, you know, I mean, if the right publisher, you know, knocked on our door, you know, I'd love for this series to have a second life. But I at the same time, you know, Kickstarter has been a wonderful community for us. And so yeah. I certainly plan on seeing through the rest of the OZ through the Kickstarter platform, because I want to do other series through it. And yeah. I think we're seeing, you know, we saw it with Scott Snyder and we saw it with Declan Shalvey and we saw it with Keanu Reeves. And we're even seeing similar arrangements being made over at Substack. But I don't think Kickstarter is an either or proposition anymore. I think it's an and, it's additive. There's a whole, there's some overlap with the Wednesday Warriors, of course, but I think it's still fairly minimal. I think there's a whole demographic of readership out there that will not step foot in a comic shop, no matter what you do. You know, they might buy their books at cons, they might buy their books on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or Comixology. And then, you know, there's some who just buy on crowdfunding and, you know, we're really excited to have them, and hopefully we can convince them to try out other projects on other platforms as well.
Yeah, no, I mean that's definitely a smart move too. I mean, because like I said, this early in the game, being the trailblazer that you are, to have that, you know, that integrity to, you know, not to know where you came from, I guess, to put it, you know, in some cliche type of way.
I think you hit it right on the head. That's exactly how I would describe it.
Right. Well, it's gonna reverberate with us as fans. I mean, it's not something that's just going to be forgotten in 2022. How you did this cool thing and you stuck with us. I mean, we're gonna know you as that. You know, just like they called Donny Cates, you know, the reader's writer or whatever, the people's writer. I don't know what the hell yeah. we call them, but they call them something like that. And yeah. I mean, it's to stay true to that, like you are with Kickstarter, man. It's it really is. It says so much about you as a creator and hella just a human as well, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would take this success and just say, screw it, I'm going to start pitching Dark Horse or whoever. I don't know, man. I really respect the hell out of sticking with Kickstarter.
No, I think, you know, the Kickstarter community's done right by us, and it's only right for us to repay the favor. And, you know, I think I'm sure there are some people who, you know, they treated it as a tourist spot. You know, Diamond had their shutdown and they wanted to get books out somewhere. And, you know, and some of these people probably found out that it was harder to do the fulfillment and the printing, and they don't want to do that again. And some people, you know, probably have like a wrong idea, thinking, you know, oh, well, it's not real publishing if I just do it through Kickstarter. And my thinking is like, it's just as legitimate of a platform as anything else. And I certainly think it's a more financially equitable platform than most in the comics industry. And why would you want to burn that bridge? You know, I think this is a great way to get your book out and not have to wait for permission to tell your stories. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, like, if I've taken anything out of this Kickstarter, it's I'm not asking permission anymore to tell my stories. I'm not waiting for somebody to be like, yeah, you can do that. No, I'm putting my stories together. And if somebody wants to pick us up before they hear of us on Kickstarter, that's their prerogative. But otherwise, you know, I'm going to go on Kickstarter, and it's going to be, the book is going to exist. And then if somebody wants to, you know, circle back, I guess that's their business, but the book is going to exist whether I have a publisher or not.
Yeah, no, and that's the way to be, man. Once again, that's the type of attitude that more people should have going into this, because I mean, for the last, I don't know, since forever, and I mean that hasn't been the mentality as a creator. It's, oh gee, I hope that my idea is good enough for this stranger, you know. I mean, yeah. it's such a nauseating experience. So yeah, no, it's nice for people to be able to have confidence now with the success of projects like this. It's awesome.
Yeah.
One thing that, you know, you don't stray away from is, you know, I always say, let's get it out to the masses, but you actually have a retailer tier on here as well.
Yes.
That's important. I don't know if I've seen that enough, but, you know, it's, this is, I want you to talk about this a little bit, cause I definitely know of a few retailers that would, be more than happy to get in on this.
Well, we have a retailer discount tier. Where we're offering issues 1 and 2, I believe we're ordering 10 copies of that, and we're offering it at 50% off. And that's awesome. Because, you know, my career, you know, the retailer block was a huge reason why I have this career. And you know, I really appreciate and admire everybody working in the trenches, you know, just to, you know, promote our books. And I think it's very easy to be like, oh, well, Kickstarter, you know, are you cutting out the retailer base? And no, you know, we're trying to make sure that retailers like have stuff that they can sell. And if you missed out in our first campaign, you know, these retailer appreciation tiers, you can get 5 copies of issue 1 and 5 copies of issue 2, you know, it's kind of a pick your poison, you know, whatever covers you want. And we'll also offer, you know, do you want me to sign any of them? Do you want me to leave them unsigned? Do you want, you know, one of each? We're trying to meet the retailers where they're at, because I know that, like, as a readership, especially the direct market Wednesday warriors, you know, they see publishers as sort of a way to triangulate, you know, an idea of what a Marvel book looks like, or a DC book, or an Image book, or a Boom book, and not having a publisher attached, you know, it's easy for readers to be like, well, I don't, you know, is it any good? And the retailers that choose to believe in us and choose to advocate for us, we wanted to make sure that we made the bar for accessibility even lower for them, because it really means a lot to us that these retailers would put their faith in us and in our book. And so, we're very grateful to the retailers who have signed up, especially retailer Keith Boyle, who actually signed up for our ultimate tier, this No Place Like Home tier. So we will actually be coordinating a store signing with him sometime probably next year.
That's awesome. No, that's cool. I remember you offered that on the first one as well.
We have a store. We're going to be setting something up with a Fantasy Shop in St. Louis, my hometown store. So we're very excited to be doing a signing with them as well.
Oh, even cooler, man. Getting to do it in your hometown. That's so rad. Oh, that's so cool. I can't imagine you doing a whole lot of other signings this year, though. Are you doing any cons at all?
Well, you know, it is a little bit of a coin toss. Right now I'm scheduled for Rose City, New York, and Baltimore. And Rose City actually just announced that they are going to be requiring proof of vaccination to go to the con. Which is a big relief for me. I was about ready to pull the ripcord. Now I'm feeling a little bit better about it. I know New York is doing the same thing, you know, and Baltimore, I think they're still figuring out their COVID precautions, you know, and so it's going to kind of go either way. You know, I'd hate to miss the Ringo Awards, but, you know, the Ringo Awards might be digital only, you know, based on everything with Delta. So, you know, those are the cons that are currently up in the air. We're still waiting to hear back in Emerald City, you know, and those are really the only 4 shows that I'm even considering at this point. And even, like I said, it's kind of a coin toss about whether I feel comfortable enough to go. It's tough. And I wish that more people kind of had their acts together in terms of, you know, getting vaccinated and wearing their masks and, you know, it sucks and it makes things hurt for the rest of the industry. And I hope that people will get their acts together sooner rather than later so we can finally get back to some sense of normalcy.
Yeah, man. I know we were all looking forward to 2021 being the year of normalcy, but I mean, I think anybody realistic knew that this was just going to be our foot in the door. I like even this year, with Denver Fan Expo, it wasn't until last week they even announced a single comic creator. So I didn't even put in for my media passes. Because I was like, I don't want to shake the hands of fucking. I don't give a shit if I'm not going to get book signed. I don't care. But they did announce a few. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll go. But even then, I mean, it's they're doing Denver Fan Expo on Halloween, so that sounds like it's going to be a circus in itself. So,
I'm excited to go back to Denver hopefully next year, but yeah, with Halloween being a thing, I was just like, oh, that feels like a lot of people, who knows what kind of ghouls and goblins might be out and about. So I'm just like, oh, I'll wait till next year, but I love Denver, and so I can't wait to get back to that show.
Yeah, man, it should be a good one come next year. I don't know. We'll see. It's all Fan Expo is a whole different thing. I mean, it was like Denver Pop Culture Con for the last 2 years before that, and that was kind of a laughing stock. So now this Fan Expo thing is now the big thing, and they're going to be running it. I think they said it's 75% this year is what they plan on doing next year. So I don't know what that means, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not super big on the con touring myself this year, just because I know, a lot of the creators aren't super comfortable, and the last thing I want to do is go up to someone, be all super excited, and want to hug them, and then be the 700th person, and then they're like, "Yeah, get the fuck away from me!" like I don't want that. So that doesn't sound
Oh,
fun.
I mean, that is tough. I mean, there is, I think, that degree of human connection that goes into these cons, and it sucks having to keep everybody at arm's length. But it's just trying to be as safe as we can for ourselves and for our families. I think most comic creators, if they have living parents, they're elderly, and so you got to be careful with this sort of thing.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
But yeah, hoping next year, I'll be back on the convention circuit so I can show off some cool stuff that we're working on. Because yeah, once I'm back in the swing of things, we'll have the trade paperback with Scout's Honor dropping later in September, September 22nd, as long as it isn't, as long as there's no more delays on the shipping boat that has all the trades. We've got the Nightmare Theater horror anthology. I'll be bringing copies of that to conventions. I did a cool short story in that, and it's just a real murderer's row of talent. It's one of the most talent-stacked anthologies I've ever seen in comics. So I'm really thrilled to be a part of that. And yeah, and more copies of the OZ, and a brand new book that will be coming out early next year. So I'm very excited for all of that.
Hell yeah, man. I have to ask only because you brought it up in the past. Is there any more word on Spencer and Locke 3?
I'm still working on it.
Okay.
It's one of those things, a lot of homework that goes involved in it, and
Oh,
it's funny.
yeah.
I was supposed to spend the back half of summer. I'd finally cleared off my plate, and I was going to be diving deep and focusing and then on that, and then this new series that I'm working on kind of fell in my lap. And
Nice.
when you see it, you'll know why I had to sort of drop everything to work on this. It's sort of the biggest swing of my career. It's super fun. I'm having a blast writing it, but it took a lot of brain power, and a lot of rolling with the punches. So, but yeah, I am hard at work on Spencer and Locke 3. We don't really have a set estimated time, and that's entirely on me. And it's only been because, I was gonna work on it last summer, and then I got
Then you
Scouts.
decided to write a Ringo nominated OZ,
Yeah,
and then
I finished OZ, and I got Scouts Honor, and then once Scouts Honor was finished, I was not only sort of getting the ball rolling on this, but had another thing that I had to work on. And then as that was finished, I was like, I'm ready. And then sort of Project Hammer kind of fell in my lap. And so now that's my life. But no, Spencer and Locke is my baby, and I'm dedicated to getting that book done. I keep telling artist George Santiago Jr. and colorist Jason Smith that it will happen. And so, come hell or high water, as long as I don't get hit by a bus, that book will see the light of day one of these days.
Oh, I believe you, man. I'm not mad at you. Believe me. I mean, you've given us some amazing stuff. I mean, we didn't even get the chance to talk about Scout's Honor. That was, I think we talked a little bit after the first issue, if I remember correctly. But I mean, that series as a whole was something spectacular, my friend. It's another one that I'm sure is be getting some acclamations. It's God damn, it was good.
I'm excited to take everything that I've learned. I mean, the thing I think a lot of people don't know is I wrote Spencer and Locke 2 right on the heels of Spencer and Locke 1. You know, that first book came out and people seemed to like it. And even Action Lab said, do you have any ideas for a sequel? Because we'd run with it. And whereas between Spencer and Locke 2 and Spencer and Locke 3, I think I've written 9 books since then.
Jeez.
And so I want to take everything that I've learned from those books and incorporate them into this. I want people to see how I've grown as a creator for Spencer and Locke 3. And there's some elements to the plot that will make a lot more sense with time, from since volume 2. So when you see it, you'll know exactly why I did it this way. But trust me, I feel like at least like once a day, I'm like, oh, Spencer and Locke 3, I got to do something on Spencer and Locke 3. So it is on my mind. And as my plate hopefully starts to clear itself a little bit more, that's going to be the next in rotation.
Oh, that's amazing. I bet Action Lab is super excited to hear that too.
Yeah. I tell them anytime that we talk, I'm like, I'm still working on it. It's still happening.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, I'm not mad. You it doesn't matter what you put out, man. I'm if it has Pepos's name on it, I'm buying it. I mean, this is you're here. I mean, that I think the OZ has for sure solidified that being. I mean, just like I said, no one's doing what you're doing. No one's done what you're doing. It's an amazing thing, man. I almost wish that you were going to all the cons so that you could see all the people's faces and excitement personally, because I'm a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of this, man.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I would love to see the readers. I miss them. And so when it's safe to do so, I'll be back at cons with bells on. And
it's going to be a glorious thing, man. It's going to be a glorious goddamn thing. I can't believe it's been an hour already. I'm sitting here going, gee, I hope we made it to 30 minutes. That's how you know it's been a damn hour. Man, David, this is always a fun talk. The fact that we've done this 5 times now and we could spend an hour without even talking about why you like comics. it says so much. no filler here, people. It's only the meat and potatoes. This is man, I always have fun doing this, David. You don't know how much your time means to me. I understand how busy you are. I mean, you're not creating dog poop when you leave. That's for damn sure. I mean, you're out there creating award-winning material. Well, I love this. I'm talking with Jesus, man. I really look forward. I mean, I'm probably just as excited for Baltimore as you are at this point. Yeah. I love this, man.
Now, Baltimore has been very good to me, and I hope for good things. If you're a comics professional who's listening to this, you can actually vote for the OZ in the Ringo Awards. If you're just a comics fan, you don't have to vote. Or I shouldn't say if you're a comics fan, you're not eligible to vote. You've already done your job. You got us in the ballot. So now the votes are just professionals only at this point. But if you're a professional and you're listening, you know, we'd love it if you voted for the OZ for best single issue or story, as well as Mon House for best cover artist and DC Hopkins for best letterer. But either way, you know, it's an honor to be on the ballot. We are so thrilled. And I think it just, you know, I appreciate the industry putting its faith in us, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to be worthy of it.
Yeah. Well, we're not worthy, brother. This is awesome. And I do, when they say professional, I do believe they also mean media folk as well. So, I mean, if you're, I have other podcasts that listen to this. I mean, if you're a part of the media, from my understanding, you are eligible to vote. Am I wrong in that, or is it strictly comic book professionals?
Let me see. I'm just gonna go.
I was looking into that last year, and I'm pretty sure it said members of the media.
Let's see.
But I don't know. I want to be 100% on that because I voted for you anyway. Let me vote.
Thank you. It seems to be unclear. They're saying comic book creative professionals, which I don't really know
Okay.
exactly what that means.
Maybe the verbiage is different this year.
But either way, we're just happy to be on the ballot. I mean, and I know we're running against some big names, and including a book from Image and a Firefly one shot. So we're just we're excited to be there. It's just especially with creators, like Greg Pak, for example. He was a huge influence on me when I was starting out, and so to be sharing a category with him means the world. So yeah, I'm very happy to be there.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome thing, man. And you're in great company. I mean, this is just a great year for the Ringos. I'm glad to see that, the eyes are starting to, see beyond the foreground a little bit.
Yeah.
There's so much more than just the big names that everybody knows, because it's got all the money backing it. And no, it's nice to see this opened up. Man, I'm so incredibly excited for you, David. I know that you got deadlines to meet, brother. You got stuff to do.
I have to pick up my puppy Ruby from daycare. So
Oh, well, there you go.
that's my next deadline. But thank
Awesome.
you so much for having me on the show. It means the world. Thank you for all your support that you've given the OZ.
Oh man, it's my pleasure. You just keep making this stuff, man. You always have a supporter here. And a mic. I look forward to the sixth time and the seventh time and the eighth time and beyond. You are now tied with Rylan Grant. He held that for a while. He got real excited. He was behind you on appearances for a while, and he had to like put out a bunch of books real quick so he can catch up to you. And then he held that five spot over you
So
for like 6 weeks. And man, he loved it. But
thirsty. Well, no, I listen, far be it for me to get between you and Ryan. But I'm glad that I'm catching up to his record. No, Ryan's a sweet guy. I love him a
He's
lot.
the man.
Very excited for his new book, Suicide Jockeys. I haven't had a chance to swing by my local comic shop yet to pick it up, but I can't wait to be able to do so because the book looks dope.
Oh, the hype is real, brother. The hype is, oh my God, it's so good. All right, man. Well, after you pick up Ruby, hit up a shop, hit up Golden Apple. Pick up Suicide Jockeys. Everyone else, they've jump on Kickstarter, man. You have a bit.ly for this?
Yeah, bit.ly/the OZ comic or the OZ comic 2. Both of them will take you to the same spot.
Bam. Nice, man. Well, David, as always, it really has been an absolute pleasure of an hour. So thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
But let's stay safe.
I'm Harrison.
And I'm Jordan.
And we're the Grief Radio Podcast.
Do you want to listen to the number one gaming podcast on Podchaser?
Of course you do!
Wait, wait. Is that us? Did you check that?
There's
comedy, gaming, and movies. Join us every Wednesday on the Grief
Burrito Podcast!
Fuck.
No, no, I'd panic.
That was
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, there you have it. Another episode in the books. Another creator. Consider him cornered. That's David Pepos. He's been cornered 5 times now. Yeah, I'm going to keep boasting that. I love when somebody of this caliber is so keen on coming back to this podcast. You know, I don't know. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. So remember, check out The OZ on Kickstarter, bit.ly/TheOZComic. And I can't wait for us to talk with Pepos again. Because I tell you what, I had the most insanely amazing off-the-record conversation with him. There's some amazing stuff coming from this guy. So, and I could say that with all of the confidence. So just be, you think 5 times? Shit, we're probably just getting started. Probably. There's no doubt we're just getting started. So get used to the name David Pepos on this here podcast. And, yeah. While you're at it, get used to Nerds Forever, 307nerdsforever.com. Like I said, it's just going to get you some good comics, man. Good comics and not raking in those eBay scalper prices either. My man Tarl's about as fair as it gets. That's what attracted me to his whole situation up there in Newcastle, and that's why we be business partners now. So 307 Nerds Forever, and as always, Inked Marketing, you gotta remember to check out the Tiki Zombie, this week's featured NSC creator book. So, sorry, my brain just kind of went bleh there for a second. So, yeah, Tiki Zombie, that's inked.pub/TikiZombie. And, alright, I will talk to you the next time there's things about comics to talk about. I command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, you fuckers.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics Podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics Podcast with Brian Wayne.
This is Drew Zucker, you're listening to the Cheers to Comics Podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics Podcast.
Hey, this is Ed Brisson, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics Podcast.
Podcast recommendations, you ask? Brian Wayne here, co-curator of The Apocalypse. And I know that sounds gnarly. That's because it is gnarly, man. The Apocalypse. What is The Apocalypse? The Apocalypse is a culmination of the gnarliest podcast, independent podcast, the internet has to offer. So instead of trying to go to Twitter the next time you need a new podcast to listen to and try to get Twitter famous, podcast recommendations, please. Just think The Apocalypse, man. And it's ironic because The Apocalypse is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Just go to podchaser.com. It's in the top list. The top list in the whole world. So whether you're looking for true crime, sports, role-playing, I don't know, anything. Think of a podcast. It's on The Apocalypse. It's like The Apocalypse with a D. And do not forget to follow The Apocalypse on Twitter as well. Once again, that is The Apocalypse. If you're looking for a podcast recommendation, The Apocalypse is sure to have something for you. Good morning. Brian Wayne here to tell you about my new podcast, The Real Brains. The Real Brains podcast is a show coming out daily, dedicated to the everyday struggle of just the average human being. From troubles with rage to anecdotes about very strange human interactions, this podcast really is just somebody that's all too familiar with the struggle. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone, so come laugh at our pain together every single weekday, every place you can catch a podcast. Check out The Real Brains with Brian Wayne. Remember, stay sane.